The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
And this is in Antonin for Kieran on the Hard Shoulder. Chinese leader Xi Jinping arrived in high-speed rail into Hong Kong to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Hong Kong's handover from Britain. And it was a ceremony that included the inauguration of Hong Kong's new government. And many saw today as a chance for the Chinese Communist Party to showcase its power over the city. With us is diplomat, former British ambassador to North Korea and member of the last joint liaison group in Hong Kong, John Everard. John, how significant is today?
It is significant. I mean, the speech by Xi Jinping made clear that he's not going to let up on his policy of effectively suppressing freedom of speech and freedom of assembly in Hong Kong. And there was that intriguing hint that although under the joint agreement with the UK, the one that assigned Hong Kong across to China in 1997, there were only 50 years of what's called one country, two systems. So Hong Kong being different from China, he hinted that this might go on after 2047. So I'm sure a lot of people will be asking about that.
The future of Hong Kong, is there an advantage to China to the kind of economic and sovereign separation that exists with the two systems, or is it disadvantageous to the broader Chinese country?
Economically, the advantages to China are clear. Hong Kong is dynamic, it's wealthy, and it has invested heavily in China. It has often acted as a kind of portal for Chinese trade. Politically, though, Hong Kong is a headache for the Chinese communist leadership. They really don't like lots of Chinese enjoying freedom of expression and the freedom to say things the Communist Party doesn't like. Moreover, the fact that it was for so long a British Crown colony still rankles in Beijing. They feel wounded national sovereignty, and they are, I think, quite keen to integrate it into China as soon as they can.
Funny, as you were speaking, the former governor of Hong Kong, Chris Patten, was there on Sky News giving his reaction to the day. What's the reaction across the UK, both to the anniversary, but also to what may be perceived as a diminution in personal and civic freedoms within the region?
I think when the riots were so heavily suppressed in 2019 and 2020, free demonstrations against what was going on in Hong Kong, there was real anger in the UK at the heavy-handedness of the Chinese authorities. And I think that anger persists, and nothing that's happened today will have quelled it. Quite the contrary. We've had some very hardline statements from Xi Jinping himself, of course, but also from several Hong Kong leaders and other senior Chinese. So not much hope, I'm afraid, that things are going to improve.
Is the UK in a position to raise such concerns, to express such concerns, given the basis on which they came into possession of Hong Kong in the first place?
Yes. I mean, where we see an agreement under which democratic freedoms, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech were guaranteed simply being thrown aside, of course we're going to raise it. The problem is that the Chinese simply respond by saying, this is actually none of your business, this is now Chinese territory, go away, which is not what the joint statement says, but it's very hard to see where you take the conversation from there.
And did the Chinese not go further and say the war that you fought, the opium wars, the motivation of them and the impact of them was so egregiously horrendous that it should come with an apology rather than a lecture?
That was, what, 150 years ago? More. The Chinese simply cannot go on living in the past like this. The opium war was regrettable, and everybody, frankly, involved behaved very badly. The British and the Chinese. There were numerous Chinese atrocities too, which tend not to get highlighted. This requires an apology after all these years, after all they've done in Hong Kong, after all they've done in Xinjiang and Tibet. No, Hong Kong is entitled to its freedoms, and we will try and stand up with them.
If you were a betting man, what do you now see as the future for Hong Kong?
Not great. I mean, officially 25 years until the one country, two systems arrangement expires. But I really don't see any serious possibility that the Chinese will take us back to the relative freedom that Hong Kong people enjoyed before 2019. Indeed, I suspect there'll be further repression. We're already seeing the effect of that. 123,000 Hong Kong people so far have taken advantage of the offer to come and settle in the UK. So there's a brain drain going on. And that's just the one to come to the UK. Many more, of course, have gone to Australia, the United States. Hong Kong is being denuded of its talent.
And is there any incentive on China to try to keep the two systems, one country approach going? Because some have said that it gives them a way to make the possible reabsorption of Taiwan more attractive to the West if they can show that Hong Kong didn't do too badly.
Well, yes, I think that is part of their hope. But they've clearly failed miserably. I mean, I don't think any reasonable person would volunteer to live under the kind of system that is being imposed on Hong Kong. And the Taiwanese have made clear repeatedly, politely but firmly, that they are simply not interested. If that's what you're doing in Hong Kong, hands off Taiwan.
John, thank you very much. That's John Everard, who is a former British ambassador to North Korea and member of the last joint liaison group in Hong Kong.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.